Hello everybody and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the new co-main event for UFC 282. After this card has been all shifted and moved around, the new co-main event, Jared Gordon against the baddie, Paddy Pimblett. What a great opportunity this is for Paddy. So, this episode is brought to you by Raid Shadow Legends. You're going to need to download this game. I've been addicted to it for quite a while now. So, this is what it looks like on my phone. This is the Bastion. And I've been playing this for a little while now. I've been gathering a few champions. You can see my champions here. So the whole point of this is that you summon champions from the portal, you train them up, you get them experience in battle, and you equip them with artifacts and different skills that they can use to make them better in the contests. The other thing that's very cool about this game is they're introducing Ronda Rousey as a champion. So if you play the game between now and February 20th, you play it 7 times, you're going to get Ronda as a champion, so she'll become part of your squad. You can upgrade her, you're going to get drawn into this game like I have. Make sure that you scan the QR code. Click the link in the comments if you're not scanning the QR code, and that'll give you a free starter pack. And with that starter pack, it's going to give you everything you need to get stuck into the game straight away. Start building your champions and your squad, and then taking them through the different levels and gaining experience. It's a very, very cool game. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you get rewards. Loads and loads of different benefits to downloading this game. It's really, really fun. And you can play other people, you can play against the game itself, and you can build yourself your own unique set of champions. It's a lot of fun. Okay, tail of the tape. So Paddy Pimblett's coming in with a record of 19 wins and 3 losses. Jared Gordon on the other side, 19 wins and 5 losses. Now there's a 1-inch height advantage for Paddy Pimblett, stands at 5'10", but there's a 5-inch reach advantage, 73 inches compared to 68. I do feel like Paddy is going to look like the bigger, longer, rangier fighter in there. He does use his long arms and legs very well. I've got a clip I'm going to show you in a second about how he uses lead leg to open up his attack. There's no secret here. Jared Gordon needs this fight to be in close range. He needs it to be a scrap, but he also doesn't really want to get tangled up too much and be dealing with Paddy's jiu-jitsu game. So if we look at their records, 19 wins on Paddy's record, 6 by knockout, 9 by submission. 6 rear naked chokes, an arm triangle, and 2 flying triangles. Always expect the unexpected from Paddy Pimblett. His fights generally are quite calm and quite tense, and the whole arena is like on the edge of its seat, and then all of a sudden there's like a spark that initiates the chaos, and then he starts his attack. And this is where flying triangles are cropping up in his game, because most of the time he's in this wild flow state where he knows what skills he's got to throw at his opponent, and he knows what's successful and how to apply them. So it allows him to switch from one thing to the next very, very quickly. On the other side, Jared Gordon, he's got 6 knockouts out of 19 wins and 2 submissions. Now, so that's a 50% finishing rate overall. It's not a massive finishing rate for Jared Gordon. And he's only actually got 1 finish in the UFC. So he's a very durable, stand in the pocket and trade with you, defend some of your takedowns, defend your sub attacks if you're able to take him down and take his back, and keep turning the fight around on you. Like, Gordon has to know that he's got to make this a scrap, and it's not going to be a first rounder for him, because that's Paddy's realm. Like, Paddy's the fast starter, he's well conditioned, and he's going to be ferocious in this attack. So if you're Gordon, you're kind of expecting that early storm, so you can kind of weather it and then start to slow the fight down into your into your pace. If this fight goes into the second round, then into the third round, that's when you start to lean towards Jared Gordon, starting to, you know, rack up punches and do damage and accumulate. But he's going to have to still weather that early storm in the beginning. And the question is, can he survive that early storm? Because Paddy's very, very dangerous. And he's on such a height streak at the moment. His confidence is so high that, you know, like against Vendramini, we saw him just unleash with punches instead of try and continue with his grappling. In his last 2 fights, we've seen him go back to what he was known for in Cage Warriors, which is jumping on people's backs and choking them out. Let me show you something. So Paddy's, it's a lot of fun watching Paddy fight, especially if you watch him fight live, because the arena kind of, like I said, they're anticipating the beginning of the chaos. And that's how it feels. Like, he's kind of, he's quite cold and straight-faced when he gets in there, and he's like looking over at his opponent. But then when the fight's going, he's quite wide-eyed. He's like ready to go. But you'll notice that he kind of hangs his weight back onto his rear leg so he can use his lead leg to stab at his opponent's midsection. Now, you're going to like the consistencies that I've found here. So this was in his last fight in Cage Warriors, Cage Warriors 122. And you'll see him going with these stabbing kicks to the midsection. And watch what his opponent does with his lead hand. The lead hand scoops away. So you can quite clearly see that his opponent knows what's coming. He's like trying to keep his toes off his midsection. And then Paddy switches it up. And it looks the same. And you can see his opponent dropping his hand to cover his guard, to cover his midsection. But then Paddy switches it and slaps him right in the side of the face with it. And this is what I'm talking about with the height and reach. And it's just weird that that this guy looks a bit like Jared Gordon. That wasn't intentional. Anyway, where am I? I confused myself here. So, stabs to the midsection, gets his opponent to sweep down, backs him up to the fence, gives him the exact same look like he's going to hop forward and stab him in the midsection. His opponent drops his hand to cover and leaves his guard down at the side of his face because he's not expecting the attack there. Smacks him at the side of the face. And then, and this is the point where, as soon as Paddy feels like you're even, if you're 100% solid and he's able to take 15% off that solidness with one of these opening shots, the other 85% can be knocked out the way in chaos. And you see this in a lot of his fights as well, because his opponents, they a panic sets in because they now know what's coming. They know that for the next 90 seconds at least that they're going to be under attack. Just watch this flow of attack. Kick to the head. A few punches. His punches do get a bit wild. Skip lead knee. Don't forget that. Haragoshi onto the floor. Drives his knee through straight into mount. Pushes his opponent's head away to separate, and his opponent immediately turns so he's not in mount. Gives his back. Paddy lands a few shots. Two hands clamped on with his lower body, and then wraps around the neck and flattens him out. And that's the fight done. 90 seconds. So it starts off with the slap and then with the sprint and the chaos. And somewhere in the chaos, usually there's a flying knee and there's some uppercuts and hooks. Like here we are against Vendramini, look, same thing, same two kicks. We see him stab to the midsection. So he gets that reaction from his opponent, bringing the hand down, leaving the side of his head open. And then straight away he goes for the same thing. Catches him right in the side of the face with his toes, look. Just enough contact. And then he comes flying in with his chaos. And again, watch for the flying knee. It looks very, very similar in this attack. He's gotten tidy. I mean, this Vendramini attack was far more about the finishing with strikes than anything else, especially after he had him hurt here. But a lot of fighters would level change and he would be on their back. Or they clinch him and then they get Haragoshi, which we saw here, and which we saw against Vargas. Beautiful. And it's the beginning of the chaos. You know, it allows him the opportunity to jump on their back in the chaos. And the Haragoshi works really well because most of the time when he's coming in against his opponent and he's throwing power shots up against the fence and they run in and they clinch him, he often gives up underhooks, which is not a problem if you've got a good Haragoshi, because you overhook and you pitch that far side leg across their legs and you whip them over your hips and land them to the floor. And as we saw against David Martinez, I believe his name is. Hang on a minute, let me go back a minute. As we saw here, after the Haragoshi, there's a moment where as he lands, there's a scramble. Because his opponent's just had the wind knocked out of him by landing on the floor with Paddy on top of him. Bang. And then before he's even managed to recover his position, Paddy's already progressing to mount, where he goes slides straight through with the knee. He's not doing anything wild like trying to throw this leg over and getting it tangled up in half guard. He's sliding his knee across the midsection, keeping that pressure on with his upper body into the head. Look at, there's no space here. Still keeping his opponent flattened out. And then as soon as he postures up, you can see his opponent's clinging on because he's now expecting ground and pound. So Paddy doesn't want to lose this momentum while his opponent's trying to slow him down. Paddy wants to maintain. So he's going to scrape him off, push him away. And as he does this, as soon as the opponent feels his hands lose grip, he's going to start thinking about turning away. And watch what Paddy does with his legs. Clamp. And what I'm watching in this is I'm watching the awareness of his legs when he's controlling his opponent, because it allows him to let go with both hands, because he's clamped so well with his lower body. It allows him to just work continuously with both hands, which again is a benefit, because if you've jumped on someone, if you're putting a ferocious attack on someone, you don't want to have one hand control while you hit with the other, because that rhythm coming from the same side with the same hand makes it easier to it makes it easier to comprehend it if you're under that kind of pressure. If you've got somebody who's clamped onto your back as you're trying to get up and they're hitting you from around the side and up underneath and around the side and around the side and up underneath and you're just getting shots from wherever, I know it's only one additional hand striking, but it doubles the amount of strikes that you're landing, which it makes you feel like you're tumbling down a hill and you can't stop yourself. That's the point I'm trying to make. And this is what Paddy's attack is like for his opponents. It starts slow, and then when it starts to roll and that snowball gets bigger and bigger, it's very, very difficult to stop it. And that couples from one fight to the next as well with confidence, because a lot of Paddy's style is based on the confidence just to go, to trust yourself that you've got the reaction time and the abilities to just go from one thing to the next, without having to stop and take stock and consider what your opponent's going to do. This overwhelming nature of Paddy's style is part of the reason why he's a fan favourite, part of the reason why he's coming into the UFC and blasting people out of the water, when they know full well what he's going to do. Like, they know he's going to attack them like this. You can go back and watch tape, but they can't stop him doing it. This was just a really nice sequence that he landed here, and to see him use the same things in his UFC fights, it shows you how embedded they are in his game and how good he is at applying them. You know what I mean? That skip knee's lovely. And if you've got the ground game that Paddy's got, he's not concerned about getting taken down, because he can almost always get himself out of these bad situations. There's the knee slide straight over. And look how he's clamped onto this. I mean, you know, he's very good at finishing with that rear naked choke. That goes for the whole team, in fact. It goes for the whole next generation team. You know, you look at some of the prospects that they've got coming through, the Luke Rileys and the Nathan Fletchers, Adam Cullen, same kind of thing. There's a ferocity and an aggression to their style which overwhelms most of their opponents in the first round, and they find themselves within the first minute being able to land really meaningful strikes which have either put their opponents out of the fight or forced them to turn away and give their back. And this, the process that the next generation team have got, and their ability to continuously bring this skill set to the table, and people know full well what they're going to try and do and they're still able to do it, it shows you how refined that path is for them. And Paddy's at the moment, obviously, is the flag bearer for it. He's the person that is at the forefront with that style. Because even though Molly's the same team, she doesn't have that same kind of style of fighting. She's much more of a takedown offense boxer. She's a scrapper that's constantly getting better. But Paddy's game plan is very, very similar to what we see at each Cage Warriors from the next generation team. You can see that that Paul Rimmer and the coaching staff there have crafted this really, really effective game plan that Paddy, of course, is doing a fantastic job. But then the fighters that are going to follow are going to be even more refined each time. I'm interested to see what happens with that team, because I think after this, Paddy and Molly, we're going to start seeing a few more of those guys transfer from Cage Warriors into the UFC, and we're going to see the same thing consistently. To me, that's ultimately what Jared Gordon's going to be up against, because he's not particularly a fast starter. He's not particularly a finisher. He's a stalwart, a tough, durable individual who won't go away lightly. You can take his back over and over again and try and submit him, and he's very good at defending. You know, he's had some good fighters on his back, and of course, you know, he did get subbed by Grant Dawson, but he did defend a few opportunities on the rear naked choke before he was actually able to find the finish with it, which is why I've picked that fight out, because I expect I expect Jared Gordon to be in bad situations in this fight, especially in the first round. But if it gets into the third round, this is what I would expect from him. I would expect him to try and stuff takedowns, and if he gets taken down, he's going to be defending his back. And if someone like Grant Dawson can't take his back and sub him straight away, then we have to be aware of how good his sub defense is. I mean, it took Dawson, I don't know, was it 4 attempts? He was on his back for a good chunk of time, and he wasn't able to finish this. So this is an area where, for me, Gordon might be able to pull the fight back in his direction a little bit. Because say if Paddy comes out in that first round, all guns blazing, he's able to knock Gordon off his feet and take his back, or he's able to scramble up and take his back, and then he's threatening with this rear naked choke for a round, and he doesn't get it. Then you've got both of these fighters coming into the second round, Gordon feeling confident that that's the best round that Paddy's had with his sub attack, and the confidence that now he's got two rounds to start to make a dent on the scorecards after Paddy's given his best in the first round. Now, that's just an assumption based on what I would be thinking if I was Jared Gordon. The times I can think back to where Paddy's struggled, say, the one that stands out particularly is against Soren Back, because I still can't for the life of me figure out how Soren Back didn't tap to that rear naked choke. I mean, that was a fully sunk, full deep rear naked choke. Paddy was wrapped up and fully squeezing on it, and Soren Back, I mean, he must have a neck like a sausage or something, because it just didn't seem to affect him. And that was a fight that Paddy lost a decision, because Soren was able to work through that really rough first round and then find his way back into the fight. It is worth noting, though, I'm pretty sure that was a fight. It was a 5-round fight. So you again, you know, it favors Paddy to fight at this speed over 3 rounds, because if he has a really good first round, he could potentially pick 10-8 up there. And then Jared Gordon needs to win the next 2 rounds just to get a draw. And I'm Jared Gordon, I'm not thinking about a finish here, because I just don't have the evidence that he is a finisher. Like 6 knockouts out of 19, 2 submissions. The only TKO on his record was with his UFC debut, which was a long time ago. But the point still stands. It's about his ability to endure in the opening round. And I feel like that's a lot to ask against someone like Paddy at this point in his career. He's flying high at the moment. He's very, very confident. And, you know, it's going to be stubbornness and durability, but I still feel like Paddy's conditioning, like that's a beautiful little move. Paddy's conditioning's gotten better of late. You know, he's been more disciplined with his diet while he's been in training camp. But I know he's very disciplined with his conditioning. And the other thing as well, you know, you go from someone who's like kind of like he gains weight, he gets fat, he gets chubby, but then you see him on fight night and he's shredded. He's in fantastic condition. So that shows you where his discipline's at, where his mindset's at. He also knows, I mean, his co-main event at UFC 282, it's a massive opportunity for him. He's going to come in supremely conditioned, and he's going to know in front of him he's got Jared Gordon, who's going to try and work his way to a decision over 3 rounds. This might be a test of Paddy's decision-making, if anything. I feel like this is an ideal opponent for Paddy to come out and look really, really good against and you know, pick up another impressive finish. But I do feel like Gordon is a step up enough to make him work through a couple of bad situations. Maybe, like I said, Paddy takes his back, tries to finish him with a rear naked choke, and he doesn't get it. And there have been moments in his career where he's done that. You know, there was Decky Dalton took his back, was on his back for about 90 seconds, realised that he wasn't going to get the rear naked choke, and bumped him over into top position and finished with ground and pound. That is the kind of decision making that I think we're going to see from Paddy this time around, because Gordon might, I think he's a brown belt under John Danaher. The ground game of Jared Gordon might be enough to be frustrating for Paddy in the first round, but the damage that Paddy can do with his strikes in the first round will last for the second and third. Like, we saw some really good defensive work here from Jared Gordon. And a lot of it was about tying up wrists and hands. Like, you can see here, he's got 2 hands here on the one of Grant Dawson. He's always locked in and controlling. And, you know, because he has this awareness, he's able to kind of read what his opponents are going to do next and try and stifle it. Like, you're seeing this next position as well. Grant Dawson tried to grab under and grab his wrist, and you can see that Jared Gordon's just clamped down with his arm to trap his hand, slowing things down, stalling things out, making it difficult for his opponent to progress. So when an opportunity does come to scramble, he's able to go. Like, this is a lovely movement here. So he's caught in a body triangle. We kind of can't see it because the camera angle changed. But what you'll notice is there's the body triangle. What you're going to notice is that there's a brief moment where the body triangle breaks and Gordon goes. So wait for it. You can see Grant Dawson trying to boss himself up into mount, and that's the point when he loses the body triangle. And you're going to see Gordon stuff his leg. You can see the hand there. He's grabbing it and he's stuffing his leg. And he's coming up. So now he's dug that underhook. He's gone from stuffing the leg. Hang on, let me go back. Grabs this ankle, drives this over here. And as he does that, that arm becomes his underhook. Drive, drive, drive. And then it's his underhook. And Grant Dawson tries to run him into the fence here, but he's able to get an underhook and circle and get himself off. And then back to striking. And this, you know, if we see this point in the third round where Gordon's walking forward and landing shots again, and it's not the end of the world for Paddy, because I don't see much pop on these punches really, but volume and consistency, that's what the judges are going to be looking out for. And we're going to cut to a different fight in a minute, because we're going to go back. This is his TKO win in his UFC debut. We have to go back to when before he shaved his head. But again, like, I mean, it's not the prettiest of takedowns, but it's hustle. It's hustle, hustle. He drops down, he bars this leg, and then he drives over with the underhook. Like, scrappy, makes it work, exhausting work. And this, I mean, Quiñones took a bunch of shots in this last round. Just, there was no point, no place where he could turn to where he was getting away from his opponent. And this like floating style of wrestling that Gordon's using again could be really useful against Paddy in the later rounds if he does find himself on the floor. Because what you're not seeing Gordon do is commit to any jiu-jitsu positions. Like, as Quiñones is rolling and moving here, like, all the decision making that we're seeing from Gordon is to enable him to punch more. It's not anything to do with, hang on, let me control you. Let me see if I can set this submission up. None of that. The moments of control are brief while he moves to the next position to strike. So here, right, we've got knee in into side control. We've got a lazy arm over the back. So he's kind of got his opponent like chocked in a little bit. Like, he's got one wedge here and one wedge here. It's a very loose control, though. Very loose. But what it's allowing him to do is it's allowing him to keep striking constantly with this left hand. Strike, strike, strike. His opponent turns. You can see how this hook's doing its job now as his opponent starts to turn away. See, that's when you start to see that little clamp between the knee and the arm. It's like just a little pinch. It's not nothing too technical. And as his opponent starts to turn away, watch how he just readjusts his position. Again, look, his opponent's trying to control a wrist here. He's trying to drag him in, trying to draw him into a jiu-jitsu match. But he's just going to keep a hand on the hip, and he's just going to circle and keep striking, keeping his legs away from his opponent, not allowing him to draw him into a jiu-jitsu match. Post and hammer fist. Wait on him. Like, if I'm Gordon, I'm trying to get the fight into this situation, either on the feet or on the ground. The same principle stands. If it's on the feet, it's going to be hanging and punching and dragging and uppercutting and kneeing and kicking and pushing away. That's something else he does in the Quiñones fight, which was really nice. I think it was the round before. As Quiñones is scrambling back up to his feet, Jared Gordon just stands up and just launches him. He just pushes him into the fence to continue his attack. That kind of chaos is going to be really useful. It's just not the same pace that Paddy fights at. Paddy's chaos comes in the first round where he waits, moments come in, stab to the front, stab to the midsection with my lead leg, stab, goes to stab, slaps him around the face, then his opponent's backed up, and then he goes flurrying in with punches to the skip knee. And then you can either keep him up against the fence and keep working that flurry, or then, of course, an entanglement could happen. His opponent could level change and want to wrestle himself out of that pressure, or he might go down and Paddy jumps on his back. And that is quite a consistent game plan that we can see from Paddy. The questions in this fight really revolve around, what if that runs out? What if that doesn't happen? Because then we might see Paddy moving into the second round having the same problem, a slightly more tired Jared Gordon, but a slightly more tired Paddy Pimblett as well. And Gordon's dogged determination, again, might get him through the second round and into the third round, where Paddy's now starting to become a bit tired because he's spent a lot of energy in the first and second trying to get the finish. Co-main event, UFC 282, excitement, expectation, all of these things. And then Jared Gordon still there in the third round, just uppercutting and, you know, Brian Barberena in you, basically, like being a spoiler. If I'm Paddy, that's what I'm watching out for. If I'm Jared Gordon, that's what I'm trying to do. I expect Paddy to have a really impressive outing. I think that this is the ideal opponent for him to have another impressive outing and finish the year with a big bang. And then if that happens, then I wouldn't be surprised if we see him co-main event in London in March, maybe with Leon as the main event defending his belt. It's a good time for UK MMA. It's a good time to be Paddy Pimblett. He is the superstar of the sport right now, and I think this is a good opportunity for him. A much better fight than a sparring match with Jake Paul, though, I will say, because he's a big kid and he can punch. But that's a story for another day. All right, enjoy the fights, and I'll see you next time.